welcome everybody to another episode of the Chop Sports Podcast here on a Tuesday, August the 17th, 2021. Your host, Sturch Gooch over there, AJ from the couch. It is a dark, dark day in the NFL. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about a lot of stuff today. It is NFL cutdown day, so a lot of guys are going to lose their jobs today. Most of the bottom feeders of the rosters, and that's a fortunate thing to call one guy that we're going to touch on at least. We'll talk about Joel Embiid getting paid. We'll see how that finagles the salary cap situation in Philadelphia, because boy, oh boy, he signed through at least, you know, I'm going to be 40 at that point when he's done with his contract. We'll talk about the Denver Broncos today in day 13 of our 32 days and 32 teams in 32 days covering the AFC West. We picked three division winners thus far. We'll start with the AFC West today. So first and foremost, I want to apologize for those who downloaded the podcast right away. This is a formal apology from last night. Not so much the people that were watching live, but the people that downloaded it immediately. I was sitting here doing my thing, edited it, threw it on there, got a text from Gooch, who was across the street at the deli, who probably somebody said something.
It was Ibby.
Yeah. Who said, that's cool. Jersey Boys podcast is great and all, but he doesn't want to listen to that.
I'm surprised they even realized the difference, because it's all Cowboys and all Cowboys. You know? So the same podcast.
Just the Jersey Boys podcast audio was uploaded yesterday for about, I don't know, an hour until I fixed it over. Spotify helped us out. That was quick on the turnaround. iTunes dragged their ass a little bit. But yeah, so that's how my day started. And so unfortunately, you know, that's a Monday. Somebody had a case of the moon day. So that was me. I will say this. It is a massive recording day here at the studio today. We got us going right now. We got the goddamn Jets coming back to record and release tomorrow. They're changing the release date to tomorrow. So they're going to drop on Wednesday along with Elena Christina's second episode, my third episode of All About the Star for the Dallas Cowboys podcast. I will say, and I have to give kudos to our intern AJ over here, who, listen, we got to give him burn. He hustles. He hustles a lot. And it's something to be said for this, because he's straight out of college. Kid's got a degree. Miami University, right? The U. I'm going to bring you up on screen real quick. The U. So I'm proud of all the work you've done so far.
He is wearing a Penn State hat, though.
He is wearing a Penn State hat, which, shout out Micah Parsons, my man.
Hall of Famer.
Hall of Famer.
Not a future linebacker. Hall of Famer. He is just a Hall of Famer.
Give him the jacket at this point. But I will say this. Your Fantasy Guy podcast drops
today.
Okay, so it'll drop on the Chop Sports Network today, but shout out to your intro song. People, you're going to have to listen to this to actually really, really appreciate it. The editing skills and the it's called The Fantasy Guy. Do the math in your head. See what you think that intro might sound like, but kudos to you, bro. You've been putting in the work.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
So man, we're excited to launch that podcast into the universe today. We'll get to your update later on. I don't know if you even prepped that, to be honest with you. You did. Okay, cool. Because yesterday's update was a banger and nobody really liked it. Well, when I say nobody liked it, Chris didn't like it. Gooch, you didn't like the update because it was too long and nobody likes preseason football except me, yeah, right?
I also got feedback on that.
Oh, okay.
It was too long. And it was too long. Preseason,
you know what?
Football.
And this is shout out to me. I'm me listening to my own podcast at the end of the day. And I fast forwarded it through the update. Like I didn't, I was like, I know. And I hit like fast forward four times and it was still on. So I was like, okay, this is long. This is definitely too long. And people may not care about the preseason football. So shout out to myself for thinking that was a good idea. So today we'll stick to the relevant baseball, wild card race, pennant race. The Yankees win again. We don't have to touch too deep on that, but they played a really good game, shut the door down. You don't want to take out Cole in a situation like that, and you did, but their bullpen finally showed up, and to our surprise, really, right?
I mean, I'm going
to
be critical. The Yankees just can't fucking get hits with men on base. Bases loaded,
no outs.
No outs, and then they get the first two runners on in the eighth, and then they fucking run into the fucking, I don't even know what they did. I turned away for a second, and then I come back, and there's commercial. No one on. I'm like, what the fuck is going on?
Dude, Yeah, base running blunders are a part of the game, unfortunately, but the Yankees have got that down to a fucking science when it comes to not having the big hit and runners in scoring
position.
What even
happened in that spot?
In the eighth inning, there was two men on.
Got thrown out at third? Why?
No. Jay Devlin actually brought that up, posted it in Chop Sports. He tried to steal third. First and second, one out, or no outs.
No outs.
He tries to steal third. Why? Like, the aggressive approach with a DJ LeMahieu, if that was Brett Gardner or somebody that can actually have some wheels, I would say yes.
To see, like, a hit and run or something, maybe.
Apparently, what Michael Kay said on the broadcast is that he finally got the timing down of the guy's, you know, stretch and delivery.
He thought he had the timing down.
Gets drilled at third, and now it's there was a man on second there already with one out. It was just complete garbage on their behalf. I'm not a fan of them doing it like that. Listen, I am all for aggression. Like, be aggressive on the base
with the
pass,
right guy.
With the right guy, exactly. DJ LeMahieu, not the right guy. If he's up at bat, put on the hit and run. That guy's going to make contact. You know, he's good for situational baseball. He's not good for just to steal third. Yeah. You know, it was just a bad. And he
well,
was
they
out
held
by
on.
A mile.
Nonetheless,
was,
they didn't lose the game.
They did not lose the game.
Because I know Tampa won.
Huh?
Tampa won, right? Yeah.
Tampa won. So now they enter the doubleheader today with the Boston Red Sox with the ability to jump the Red Sox in the standings if they take both games.
That's what are they, 1.5 out?
They're one
behind Boston.
One behind Boston. So there you go. So right away, all the crap that people have been spewing about the New York Yankees and how this season's kind of lost, including myself. I said, you know what? This team just doesn't have the fight. We don't know if they're going to win the division. And again, I don't want to beat a dead horse. This ain't a Yankee podcast. But I will say, you can't knock the hustle. You know, can't knock the hustle. Speaking of the hustle, speaking of, you know, dedication and passion and for the love of the sport. Today, I unfortunately have the unfortunate, it's not even an honor, it's just the due diligence and the duty to announce that just about 1.5 hours ago, Tim Tebow was released by the Jacksonville Jaguars. Now, I know, just sign of the cross, thank you very much. I know we have, AJ just looks very upset over there. He's broken up about it. I mean, look, he can barely handle himself right now. It's just not a good... He's upset, and you know what? And rightfully so, because yesterday on this very podcast, I came out and said, so you could probably submit that to Freezing Cold Takes on ESPN, saying that Tim Tebow was going to make this roster. Tim Tebow was a locker room guy. He's a positive dude. He's going to make this roster. Friends with Urban Meyer, has that connect. He's going to make the roster. Lo and behold, this is the result. Now, do you credit this to Urban Meyer, who is now saying, you're my boy, but we got to put the best people on the field? Or do you credit this as that he just didn't play well enough?
Both.
But in the first cut is what I'm saying. This is the first. You have 85 guys on the roster, got to get down to 80, and he's not even one of those 80.
Both. Yeah, like he didn't play well enough. That's simply it. They're not going to cut a guy that they're selling jerseys off the shelf if he's fucking even remotely decent. He clearly wasn't.
But all those jerseys.
And I wanted yesterday. I was with you. I'm saying I'm thinking Tebow's going to make the team just because the Jaguars don't really have much to offer going into this year. Obviously, you don't want to think that going into the season, especially with a first year head coach, a new quarterback. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think Tebow just wasn't up to snub, and that's what it is.
But it's a very hard thing to do what Tebow did. Like, he was given the chance.
Well,
by a friend.
Tried to do what? Because he didn't do shit.
Right, he didn't do anything. His blocks were bad. Like, Kyle Kerms posted two bad blocks.
On the very next play, one was more telling. He got shedded real quick. Right. I don't even know if that's the right word.
Shedded. Yes. Yeah. He got shed. Whatever. He was shed quickly,
and he didn't even get a fucking hand on the guy. He put his hand out. No. It looked like a T-Rex arm, and he just got shrugged to the side.
It was a bad look. It was a bad look. But I will say this about Tim Tebow. Shout out to Tebow for continuing to pursue what he wanted to do. When he's in baseball and he stinks at baseball, he's still at it. He's just not quitting. You know what I mean? So the reason why I have a problem, not with the cut, because I firmly believe that the Jaguars might have done the right thing in cutting a guy that just wasn't going to contribute on the team unless special teams help, right? He wasn't going to contribute. He's a locker room guy. He's a good dude. But I will not get behind the people that are laughing about this and the people that are like, I told you so. And like, you know, there's no room for that because I feel like Tim Tebow is a guy that has done it the right way his entire career, starting in college, right? And everybody loved to see this guy's passion. He's yelling, he's screaming, he's behind everybody.
I think he's a fucking dork.
You might think he's a dork, but I think he's a phenomenal athlete and a phenomenal locker room guy. And you know what? Have you ever read about him getting pulled over with guns in his trunk?
I have nothing personal against Tim Tebow.
No, but I'm just saying.
Personally, he's a good dude.
Yeah. You know,
the Tim Tebow, they do a bunch
There's
of
no
great
guns
things.
In his truck.
But I really, that's not even fair to say either, though, because 99.9% of the NFL doesn't have guns in their trunk.
No. I'm not done. Right. Guns in the trunk is one instance. He's also not going public with his thoughts about COVID, like a Cole Beasley, and pissing everybody off and rubbing everybody the wrong way. He doesn't say anything. He's just a dude trying to make a team, trying to live a dream. And you know what? If you're out there saying, jeez, this guy never, oh, we got one camera out. Go edit me back in. But that's okay. The voice is still there, I believe. I'm not sure. Yeah, it is. Yeah, but anyway, so I'm thinking to myself, like, why would you, you know, be celebrating the loss of somebody's job? And I'm not saying he was the best at it. He wasn't even good at it. But the fact that he hustles and he continues to grind and he continues to move in the right direction in life, it should give you a little motivation and inspiration. You know, when we started Chop Sports, do you think anybody was out there saying, like, I can't wait till they fail? You know, that I can't wait till they're just not any good at what they do anymore, or whatever the case may be. You know, nobody's rooting for anybody to fail, you know? And I think the people that are saying, like, ha ha ha, like, Tim Tebow got cut.
I'm rooting
for you. Would you say ha 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 to anybody else getting their job taken away?
Yes.
You would.
You like Justin Fields. I hope he fails. There's plenty of guys around the league that I hope fail.
And you hope he fails because you don't want him to be good because he's in your division. But the terms are, he's good. And you know what? We didn't even talk about him yesterday, which was brought up to me by my boy Jay Silva. He goes, wow, you talked about all the rookies except the best one. And I'm not saying he's the best rookie out there.
The best one.
Debatable.
What are you talking
about? Debatable. But I'm just saying in general, you know, you don't root. I'm not in the mindset of you know, people bashing Tebow for losing his job after going out there and trying. You know, we collectively go out there and try. Nobody is going to sit out there.
There are no moral victories in football, Dave.
There are not. You're correct. And this
I'm just one of these guys that, look, he gave it a shot. I didn't care that he was getting an offer or getting an opportunity.
Thing.
That was like, okay, cool. He got the opportunity. I don't think at this point he was really keeping anyone from an NFL job.
Exactly.
And if they kept him around now, he might have been.
Right.
So I'm okay with it across the board.
Exactly.
They gave him a shot. He didn't fucking work out. They moved on. And Tim Tebow left graciously. I'm sure he has no problems with Urban Meyer. He's not.
He tweeted out something real nice. I wish we had it, but
he's not going to burn the bridge behind him. It is what it is. I'm sure he might have something to do with the Jacksonville Jaguars organization going forward because of his ties to that area, being from Florida.
Correct.
Going to college there.
Yeah.
But hey, it is what it is. Let's close the fucking book on Tim Tebow in the NFL.
Well, because
that's clearly a wrap.
That is clearly a wrap, unless the guy wants to go out and try to play quarterback again, which I don't think is going to happen.
Go get down with Anthony Pecorella and learn to punt.
There
Just
you go.
Just kick it.
Just kick it. Why not? What the hell? What? he might listen. Go punt. But no, for real. On the real, like that's exactly what I was thinking to myself, too. This is a twofold thing. Like, one, it's one to celebrate somebody's demise, right? Those people out there, there's miserable people out there. And that's what I consider you. You're a miserable human being if you root for somebody to fail. That's it. Point blank, period.
Well,
nothing. If you root for somebody to fail, you're a miserable person.
I guess I'm...
I'm not talking about I hope the Bears lose. Yes, I hope the Eagles never win a game. I hope
there's
the Giants
definitely
stink.
People that I hope fail. I got to think, though.
Not to me. I would, because you know what? I know. You know what it is? You don't believe in karma. So that's the whole thing. So by me, I kind of believe in that shit. Like kind of willing things into existence.
So you think that if you hope someone fails, that someone that you're hoping for to do well will fail, and like it's all about Dave.
No, right? No. I think that's not. That's not my mind space. That's not where I'm at mentally. I just want people to... I want everybody to succeed. I do. If you're a real estate guy, I want you to sell a freaking house every day of the week.
I don't particularly... It's not going to affect me negatively or positively if somebody I know fails or succeeds. Maybe if they fail, it'll bother me a little bit if I know them. But if it's a fucking guy in the NFL that's on a team that I don't root for, eh.
Okay. I'm with it. I understand your theory.
I'm a piece of shit.
No. This doesn't make you a piece of shit. It just makes you think that way.
Yeah.
And like just like I said, every time when I root for my friend's happiness with NFL teams, if my team is out, right, and let's just say the Packers are in the NFC Championship game. Last year, I was wholeheartedly rooting for the Packers. As bad as Rodgers has burned me and broke my heart, I was rooting for the Packers because I know you, your entire family, everybody, all the Lambarakis, all these guys would go nuts.
I don't root against teams because of people in my life. I root against teams that negatively affect me. Like, if they beat the Packers one year, I'll probably hate them forever. Like, I don't, we're talking about Denver. Yeah. You know how long I hated Denver? They handed me a Super Bowl loss when I was at that
age. This one's for John.
I just couldn't handle the Packers losing, let alone in a Super Bowl at that time in my life. I'm talking like bad anger when the Packers lost.
You were that angry that young?
I mean, over football games, absolutely. Like, when it comes to
that young, I'm saying.
Yeah, when the Packers lost, I wasn't that young either. I was definitely 15 or 16.
It was 96, 97.
Yeah, I might even have been older.
97, I was 13.
I was 15.
13? I don't even know. I'm not doing... All right.
So yeah, so I was 15 and pissed.
Okay.
Really pissed off. Fuck Terrell Davis. Definitely double fuck John Elway.
Oh, John Elway, I don't like personally.
He was a hack.
Personally, I don't like the guy. He promised an autograph.
Probably the most over... my brother. I think he's the most overrated quarterback in the top 10 all time.
Overrated?
Yeah, John Elway. He was a fucking scrub for a long time. Not a scrub, but just look. Do a deep dive into the John
drafted
Elway
by
numbers.
The New York Yankees, mind you, and then quit the NFL when he was drafted by the Colts. Is that what happened? And then he went to the draft, and then didn't happen. And then I think he went to Denver. It was a whole bunch of crap with John Elway.
There was a bunch of things going.
But
down.
Anyway, yes, the book is closed on Tim Tebow. However, all of you people that were up in arms and going crazy about him taking a roster spot away from somebody else who possibly deserved it, shut up now. It's over. Now it's over. Now we don't ever have to mention Tim Tebow again on this podcast. Listen, this might be coverage on the mainstream media, sports media right now for the day. And people are going to be like, I thought he had a chance or whatever the case may be. They'll talk about it for a day. We'll forget about it. That's unfortunately happens when people die too. You know, people pass away and you're like, oh my God, this is the worst thing ever. But guess what? You forget about him after a little while. So I'm not saying he's dead, but in the NFL, his career might be over.
It took a dark turn.
No. I'm just saying, what do you got over?
You're talking about celebrities, right? I mean, you could be talking about, like, people, you know? Like,
No. I'm talking about, like, when people get upset about somebody that is on TV and they die. And you're like, oh, my God, I can't believe he's dead.
Oh, I mean, absolutely.
You forget about it in, like, 2 days.
I'm trying to think of the worst TV death.
Robin Williams, to me, hurt
I'm talking
me.
About, like, fictional characters. Oh. Like Rita from Dexter. That was brutal.
I stopped watching Dexter. I know I'm an idiot because I know that show is like
fantastic. It got shitty towards the end.
That's what people told me, and I kind of
when Rita bit the bullet.
Well, now that I know that Rita dies, I might as well not even watch it. Bro, so, and I don't even know what Rita is. Oh. So.
Did you watch it? You watched Dexter?
A little.
Did you see the Rita is Dead episode?
No.
I'm trying to think of what other bad deaths like.
Bad deaths on TV? Like, Oh, well, I mean, Joe Pesci in Goodfellas, like, he just gets freaking whack.
Anybody in the mafia movies, I'm expecting them all to die, and I'm in a way rooting for it because that's what makes the movies good.
But that one, though, that one was like, he was supposed to be a made man, and he goes in there. I'll never forget.
Poussey from Orange is the New Black.
See, I don't watch that show either.
That was pretty
tragic.
That
was tragic. A little shitty.
Was there any big deaths in, I don't know, The Wire? A lot, I'm assuming, right? You were a Wire guy. My dad was a Wire guy. Who?
Everybody in the Wire.
Okay. Well, I'm just saying and you forgot about him.
I honestly can't remember. Everyone died in The Wire too.
Yeah, exactly.
Pretty
so,
much.
What is
Omar?
Omar. I did hear about this.
Oh my God. I think fucking Scoop just ruined the goddamn Sopranos for me. What the hell, Scoop?
You haven't watched The Sopranos by now? No, you ruined it. You ruined it on your own.
Yeah. Wow. You just ruined it.
And also, Sopranos, unpopular opinion, Sopranos is way overrated.
My Lanta. I have no dog in that race. I watched about 7 episodes, stopped, and I just haven't. I'm an Italian guy. That's probably like sacrilege not to watch The Sopranos. My dad watched it. Everybody I know watched it. I didn't watch it.
The first 2 seasons, all it was Tony trying to bang his therapist and fucking crying. And then it was like his son. Was his son AJ in that?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. His annoying son, AJ, and his daughters. Nobody cares about your kids' lives.
I love
lives.
Metal Soprano.
Nobody cares about your children's lives. We care about Italians shooting other Italians on a mafia show. That's all we want to fucking see.
Just
am
Italian,
I wrong? Am I wrong
Italian
about that?
Italian on Italian crime.
Like, yeah, Sopranos, you want to see mafia shit. I don't want to see therapy.
My stepmom's like that. She's like, if people aren't dying quick enough in these shows, she's not interested.
Let's talk about deaths that didn't happen that should have happened. on TV, The Walking Dead, Carl.
That's another show.
Bro, when he got shot in the eye, I was like, finally, Carl's dead. And then the next fucking episode, he's wearing a patch. I'm like, really? They don't even have medicine, and he's fucking got a patch in his eyes. Like, come on.
Another guy got through 2 seasons of Walking Dead, stopped. Like, I can't stick with things.
They killed Shane.
I don't.
Shane was the. I know. Is the fucking would have been the goat. Boy? He should have ran the whole shit. He would have been king of the fucking of the new Walker world, yeah. Right? He would have probably had pet walkers, and they have Rick with his doofy cowboy hat on. No offense, Dave. I know you're a cowgirl.
What does that have to do? Have you ever seen me in a cowboy hat? Like besides not Dallas yet. Cowboy hat? Not yet.
Wait. Do you actually have a cowboy hat?
No.
Oh no, Dave.
I've been to Texas, jerk off.
Do you have cowboy boots?
I do not have cowboy boots.
I would have gotten up and walked the fuck out, right out, right now.
I do not own cowboy boots, so right. that being that.
Oh, my God. How does this keep happening?
What? Oh,
I
didn't man.
Even touch it. I have to get a new piece,
yeah,
clearly.
Yeah, it's okay. Nobody wants to see me anyway. It's all good. It's fine. It's probably better off that way. It makes it maybe a better show if they don't see me. Double Chris, double whammy. But anyway. So I will, we have to touch on this because it is news. Joel Embiid gets paid big time money. He's now signed through 2026, 2027, which is crazy to think about because, you know, again, I can't even think about past 2021 at this point or 2020 last year when you're like, oh, what's going to happen next? You know, well, guess what happened next? Joel Embiid got paid. Now, how does this affect their entire cap situation? Is like when you, all right, so you guys can explain this better to me because you guys are these NBA enthusiasts, these supermax things, right? When they get this supermax contract, how many of those can one team give out? Is it because they're all NBA players of some variation?
Like, I believe one. I don't think you could have two supermaxes on your team. That might be.
I don't know. AD and LeBron aren't supermaxed out.
I don't know.
Like LeBron isn't on a max.
Maybe just keep your eye in the comments just in case somebody can answer that.
I'm pretty sure that Russ is definitely supermax, right?
I would assume so, right? I mean,
now is there like a supermax? You have to be all NBA.
That's the rule, right? Yeah.
So, logistically speaking, there could only be a certain amount total in the league because there's only a certain amount of
all NBA players. But now, is it a one time all NBA player?
You become eligible for the supermax.
So then there could be more.
Yeah, there could be. Well, there could be more than 10, but over 4 years, there could only be 40. If these guys are running it back. Okay. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I have no idea the logistics of that. But I think you could have more than one.
Okay. Because I think of a guy like, I can't think of his name now, with Embiid.
So the Nets don't have two supermax guys?
Tobias or like Ben Simmons?
Simmons. So he's not a supermax because he's never.
No, but he's expensive.
Yeah, but he's right. So that's what I'm trying to say. Like this big extension for Embiid, does that kind of limit what they can do as an organization unless they move Simmons? But who the hell's going to take that money?
You would think that, but then you look around the league and you see guys like LeBron, AD, and Russ teaming up, and then you see KD, Kyrie, and Harden teaming up, and you got to imagine that these guys are all making around at least $40 million a year. I know the supermax is what if he signed to
he signed
a
200 over 200 mil total value.
You know, so he's making almost $50 million a year.
That's insane
money.
The thing that you guys need to take into account with the 76ers is not only is Simmons getting paid like that, not only is Embiid now have the supermax, but Tobias Harris gets paid $40 million a year.
Well, he's good, but he's not $40 million a year good.
Yeah, but that extremely limits what they could do. They really only have those three guys.
So that's three guys and a bunch of role players, maybe with like at the league.
And the fact
minimums.
That they're asking for control of four first round picks for Simmons, who can't even take four shots in a fucking playoff team.
I don't know if anybody takes
that's
him.
That's really
at this point.
Hindering what they could do by asking for way too much back for a guy that he is a great defender, but he was just absent down the stretch in the most.
Those are the games. Those are the times that you got to show up.
The biggest games of the season, he wasn't there.
They can't have more than two
So they could have
okay,
two.
Okay, they can have two. So that begs the question. You're telling me that one of those big three of the Nets and one of those big three of the Lakers are not a supermax deal?
Uh-huh.
That's interesting. To me, that's interesting.
I would imagine it's LeBron.
I would imagine it's him and Anthony Davis. So now Russ Westbrook, you're telling me he's not a supermax?
No, what I'm saying is I would imagine LeBron is the one that's not.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
I guess 18, you don't really need it at this point.
I mean,
he's been in the league 19 years.
Do I know? Of course.
I saw that in Chop Sports today. I was like, what?
Yeah, he'll be playing against two of the kids this season that played on his son's AAU team. So
that is, oh my God. Like, you can hate on this guy all you want, but if you're playing at that level 19 years into the league, like,
and
I don't like the guy,
they're a clear favorite to win it all this year. I'm not saying they're gonna, because a lot of things have to go right, and it's interesting to see how the Russ situation plays out, but they're pretty loaded.
Yeah.
And I know that they're lacking the shooter, but they just got Melo, baby.
Stay Melo.
Hoodie Mello.
Stay Mello.
I love Mello. I love Mello. I really wish that year that Jeremy Lin went off. With Mello, that could have been the year. I really feel like there's so much momentum that year.
It could have been the year that they won the title.
Seriously, man. What the fuck are
you talking about?
No, but what about that shortened season? Didn't we do really well the shortened season? It was like a 50-game season,
and then I think we had gotten to the second round of the playoffs against the Indiana Pacers, and we lost.
If the Pacers have been a thorn in my side my whole life.
If they shortened this season, the Knicks would have done really well, too. But you see what happens in the playoffs, right?
We'll see what happens with the Knicks as the NBA season gets closer. But AJ, my guy, there was a little bit of baseball. And before we get into the baseball update, I will say we are not going to be talking about Trevor Bauer because that boy, that just keeps getting worse. I keep seeing more and more reports. Dude, we may never see this guy pitch again.
Well, I saw the opposite of bad reports.
But I saw him. He put out his own tweet, right? Which is great. I think you always need to break your silence in situations like that.
Well, not always, because you have lawyers.
If your lawyer tells you to, like, he probably, you would think he ran that by his lawyer, right? Like, hey, can I just say this?
I think he said in the statement that he said that his legal team advised him not to.
Of course, then what?
He said he couldn't, though. He couldn't take it anymore.
Trevor Bauer, man, you got to get smart.
I don't want to. I'm not saying. It's so hard to talk about these situations because we don't know the facts, and you get caught with egg in your face if you did do some crazy shit.
It's like somebody saying that Tebow's going to make the Jaguars, you know? Egg on your face. All over. Anyway, but yes, like this is not a good situation to be in. And the reports that just keep coming out are just, they're not good, you know? They're not good. All these girls are coming forward. And look, we won't know anything until we know something. But just stay off of Twitter, Mr. Bauer. Mr. Bauer. See, that was a show that was amazing. Did you watch that show?
What?
Were you a fan of 24? With Jack Bauer and Kiefer Sutherland? No? Were you? No?
I mean, no.
Oh my God. What a great show that was.
That sound,
hello,
though.
Mr. Bauer.
That sound.
The reason why that show was bad because the dude needed to sleep at one point or another.
No, it's 24 hours. You can't stay up for 24 hours. You do it every day. Look,
24, that was the basis of the show?
Yes, it was a 24-hour.
So he was like in one day, he was in like Dubai, Washington, D.C., L.A., and he was like, he was stopping a terrorist attack
that's
in every single situation.
Goat Jack Bauer was. He could be in so many places at once.
I don't think I've liked a TV show.
I put that show up against a lot of shows, especially like shows that you're like, why isn't this over yet?
Was it even on cable?
If it
wasn't on cable.
It was Fox.
It's not cable, but.
What do you mean it's not
cable? That's just on network television.
Oh.
Any network television show is
shitty. Oh, so like
shitty.
The 2, 4, 5, 7, 9, 11, yeah. 13, and like 64. By the way,
I'm talking about network television, Seinfeld, Everybody Hates Chris, Martin. These are the only shows that I've ever given.
Martin! That was such a good show.
Great show.
God, that was
Everybody
such a good
show. Everybody Hates Chris is a very underrated TV show, too.
Chris Rock?
Yeah. I love that
Never
show.
Saw that show. Never gave it a chance.
Grew up on
And I like Chris Rock, but I never gave that a chance. But anyway. So Trevor Bauer, stay off Twitter. Don't be an idiot. Listen to your lawyers. That's what you're paying the big bucks for. But AJ, what do we got when it comes to the MLB docket yesterday? Because I know there wasn't a lot of games, right? I'm not mistaken, the Yankees obviously played, but hit it.
All right. Well, we got to start off with saying that hit up our boy, Curtis Counts, for all your realty needs. Curtis Sells Houses is the best guy on the market. If you need anything, make sure to hit up Curtis. Let's get into the slate from yesterday. The Giants are able to defeat the Mets 7-5. Chris Bryant, the Cub that the Mets should have traded for, homers twice and beats that team. The Angels and the Yankees have a close game, but Cole is sharp in his return from COVID-19. The Yanks top the Angels 2-1. The Atlanta Braves have a pounding against the Miami Marlins. They win that game 12-2.
Have a pounding.
I don't know exactly what have a pounding means, but we'll figure it out at some point.
Did you read that or you made it up yourself?
Made it up myself.
All right, on the fly, baby.
Tampa Bay Rays destroy the Baltimore Orioles 9-2. Orioles are able to get the hits, but they're not able to get the runs. I'm getting a call from Houston, Texas right now, so let me go back into the stream. Don't know what that was about. The Cincinnati Reds are actually making some pretty decent progress on their wild card chase, and they won another game against the Cubs 14-5. The White Sox beat the A's 5-2. Nothing too notable in that game. Let's go to Houston, where they lost that game against the Kansas City Royals 6-7. The Royals have been
you
big.
You did it, you son of a. You
7-6.
Thank you.
They've been big spoilers as of late. And then we have our final two games. The Colorado Rockies are deadly at home, and what do? They win again. They were able to win the game 6-5, and CJ Krohn had a homer with one out in the ninth for them to win it. The LA Dodgers have a low-scoring affair, surprisingly, against the Pittsburgh Pirates and their staff. They're able to win that game 2-1, and that is your AJ Sports update.
My man. So, yeah, other than the whole 6-7 thing, that was pretty good. Flawless, short, to the point, got all the scores out. Chris, you have any thoughts?
No.
Good. See, that's a good thing.
We're making progress.
We're good, yeah. We're making progress.
Much, much better.
Yes.
Much
better. What? You didn't, whatever. You don't want to hear about the NFL preseason?
No, I don't want to. It's not even that. Look, we talked about the NFL preseason at length in the open.
We did.
And then he talked about it at length in his fucking update.
That's a lot of length.
So he's like, we're getting an update on what we literally just heard.
Uh-huh.
That was my problem.
Very, very good point. Now, had we had like a production meeting right before, we probably would have actually said, you know what? This isn't necessary.
I think yesterday we got to work and nobody said a word until we started recording. It was just...
It was very somber. I don't know what it was about. Maybe it's a Monday thing. I don't know. Maybe it was just... Well, you got kicked your own ass on the weekend. I did the same thing. We just tired.
And then you came in. What was your deal when you came in? No. You just said, like, I couldn't get going at the gym.
No, I don't know what it was. I think it's my sleep. Somebody recommend... I don't know, man. I need to sleep better. This is like... My back is so shattered, and I can only... attribute this to just wear and tear and just not just lifting. I'm talking about sitting football, in that wrestling
fucking
and
seat
all day,
all day,
all day. So I'm going to start doing push-ups and pull the Ari Gold. I'm going to pull the Ari Gold and just not disturb for like 15 minutes a day when I'm here. Do some calisthenics, stretch, maybe get cupped by our.
I spent $160 on tennis rackets like the beginning of the summer, and they're still brand new with six tennis balls.
Sell
them. No, I'm not going to sell them. That would be a complete failure. A complete failure. I need to play tennis because I know a big strapping guy like myself going out and playing tennis.
It's manly. It's manly.
Tennis, you will get the best workout of your life, and it's a sport that I could literally beat the shit out of Ashley in.
I was going to say, who? This guy.
Literally, and she talks shit where like she thinks she's going to actually beat me, and she's not. I'm not going to take it easy on her, at least until I get to see where she's at with it. But
she might be the next
but here's
Sharapova.
The thing. I think what's going to happen if I play Ashley in tennis, that I'm gonna beat her real bad early, and then I'm going to fade fast. And then she's just going to keep that consistent.
She's got the drive.
She's got cardio for days. She's like literally watching the show on the treadmill now. I'm sitting here suffering.
Sweating while you're talking.
Yeah. So,
but anyway, we will touch on the Bronx. Oh, you know what I did yesterday? Big boy, big flex.
Oh, Scoop.
What'd he say?
He could beat me in tennis.
Oh, here we go. Scoop, you really want to do this all over again? Like, we will find the nearest tennis court and
let's get that picture that you took of Scoop in pain.
That's the best picture ever.
And that's the new logo for the podcast.
Yes. I love that idea. That's a great idea. Big boy flex. I know you privileged people over here probably already live with it, but I myself have ordered service to get central air conditioning installed in my home.
Very nice.
Bravo, Dave, bro. This is my biggest purchase since the home. And I'm like, it's got to, I mean, I'm not going to like, I don't have the money to just give it all away. Like,
yeah, I bought tennis rackets.
that's we are in
2 life. 2 months ago.
That's where we are in life. So yeah, I actually got to call my dad about that because he's got all the answers about everything. But anyway, the Denver Broncos, we're in the AFC West now, where there is a lot of competition out there. There's a lot of youth out there. They finished last year. We're going to find out if we think they can maybe take the next step with the team they got. I think they could possibly be potentially better than they were last year. But it starts up to... What's up?
So we're going to go to break, and when we come back, right? What we're going to do? Didn't we skip a break yesterday by accident?
I mean, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're right. So when we come back, you're going to throw the merch commercial in here. And when we come back, we're going to talk all about the Broncos. Thank you, Chris. Right, good right, call. Right.
Let's go.
There is nothing on my person that I care more about than my hair and beard. It's the moneymaker. I need it mint. The only person I trust right now is John over at Main Street Barbershop in Metuchen. John has been at this game for 7 years and offers premier haircuts, complete bald head shaves, shape-ups, beard trims, the works. You can follow Main Street Barbershop on Instagram at MainStreetBarber_Metuchen, and you can book an appointment by downloading the Booksy app or call John directly at 732-569-2592. Tell him Chop Sports sent you.
Chopsports.shop is the way to order all of our NIL Chop Athletes merchandise, along with brand new hoodies. It is now officially hoodie season. Get involved with that. Also get involved with the brand new Chop Sports t-shirt. I think I want to buy one today, as a matter of fact, because I think it's dope. And I think I might want to go down, back down to XL.
A Chop Suey tee?
Don't what a fucking what? Is that a thing? Is that real? On, bro. I can't,
it says samurai on it. And the other one says swordplay. Right. And he's not even Japanese. He's Korean. So that's racist in itself. All
right? Stop. Right. He was offended, right? Anyway, welcome back to everybody joining us on the live stream.
Presence at this point.
Me too. I'm over it. But anyway, we're talking about the 2021 Denver Broncos today, in which it starts at the top. It's a heavily debated topic as to which quarterback is going to be the guy in 2021. They make this trade. Now, remember this. They made this this acquisition with Teddy Bridgewater, right? And then there were still rumors that they could potentially take a Justin Fields or something like that, where there was going to be three guys in camp. They don't go that route. They go Patrick Surtain on the defense. But now Drew Lock and Teddy Bridgewater, and unfortunately not Brett Rippon, son of Mark Rippon, or maybe nephew. Either way, he's not going to be the starter. Drew Lock, Teddy Bridgewater. If you had a, you're the coach of the team, right? You are the Denver Broncos head coach.
Who is that, by the way?
Vic Fangio? Fangio.
Yes. Yeah. You are the coach of the Denver Broncos, Gooch. Who's coach putting in week one when it comes to Drew Lock or Teddy Bridgewater?
I'm going to go with Drew Lock based on the throw that he made the other day.
Just one throw?
No, and
but that's preseason. Teddy, it doesn't
Teddy
matter.
Bridgewater, he's had plenty of opportunities in the league, and I haven't seen much from him as far as being able to lead a team to a successful season. He's had his, I guess, moments in Minnesota, bad injury, and then he goes to Carolina, and they try to push the ball a little bit last year, and he really turned it over a lot. I'm not really sold on Teddy Bridgewater as a starter.
Was he a Saint, too?
He was a Saint. He was a backup.
But he never really played for them. Yeah. I'm not sold on Teddy Bridgewater as a starter. I think he's a good stopgap guy if you're in, if your quarterback gets injured. Now, the problem is I'm not sold on Drew Lock as a starter either, but I do think that there's a lot more room for improvement with Drew Lock, and I think that he's kind of came into the league with a lot of these young receivers, and they have a little bit of a bond, a rapport.
Nice little rapport, yeah.
That's why I'm going with Drew Lock to start the season, and if it doesn't work out, then you have the guy in Teddy Bridgewater that I think could manage the offense a little bit better. But me personally, I think Drew Lock has a shred of a Brett Favre attitude in him.
I do like that,
The problem is I don't think he's...
He's not the slinger like Brett Favre was.
He's got a cannon, but...
No, like, Brett Favre to me was more of an improviser. I don't know if Locke has that.
I think we'll see about Locke. It's in the NFL, I think nowadays more so than anything, is that they give these young kids, they get the jobs almost right away because the fan bases are clamoring for it.
Right.
And maybe Drew Locke wasn't ready. And you see this a lot throughout the league in history where guys kind of come into their own later in their career. Kurt Warner, you even had like a Rich Gannon. He was a journeyman for a long time. Just... It's very early in a quarterback's young career to write him off. Look at Ryan Tannehill. There's a few examples
out there. That's a great example.
Now, Drew Lock, like I said before, I'm not sold on him either, but I think that there's more potential out of Drew Lock, and the receivers, which we'll get to in a second, the receivers are pretty loaded,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
One through four.
So I'm in agreement with you. In fact, AJ, later on today, I want you to put up a poll on our Instagram, Drew Lock or Teddy Bridgewater. Unlike your tragic ridiculous poll yesterday or the other day with Dak Prescott or Lamar Jackson.
Such a landslide that I guess it was ridiculous.
Yeah, it was ridiculous because the masses have spoken. They all want Lamar Jackson as their starting quarterback. You're all morons. I'm looking right at you for everybody who voted for Lamar Jackson. You're all stupid. But anyway, so in their running back, their backfield, this has been a running back by committee team since the beginning of time, maybe since Terrell Davis. After that, it was just like legitimately, it was Shanahan who had all the running backs, and then the guys who took over for that, John Fox, all these people had running backs by committee. I see no difference this year. Melvin Gordon is good, but he's never that guy that can just take the load and just take the 25-plus carries a game. They got Javonte Williams, they got Mike Boone, and they got Royce the 5'9 Freeman. Okay, so they do have a lot of backfield, but do you feel like even with four guys that are capable of running the rock, now I'm assuming Javonte Williams is a rookie, right?
Yeah, they traded up for him.
Yes.
I think he's their best back. I think he has a chance to be the best back in the class.
I think so as well. I think he'll be a starter. Okay.
I don't think he's a better player than Najee Harris. I just think that in the situation.
Where's he out of? Harris? No, nobody.
Who are we talking about right now? I just had a brain fart.
Javonte Williams.
Oh, he's out of UNC. He doesn't have a lot of wear and tear on his tires.
That's right. That's Michael why I always
Carter
get confused.
Carter went to the Jets.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Mr. Carter. Okay. So they do have a loaded backfield in numbers, and you think that maybe in time Javonte Williams could be the bell cow.
Yeah, like I'm saying that they're going to always be, especially because he's a rookie, and they have Melvin Gordon signed to a contract. I think that they may be in the early going, run Melvin Gordon into the ground, and then towards week eight, you see a little changing of the guard. Mm-hmm. If there's an injury or two here or there, then this guy gets the full-blown gig.
Gordon's contract also expires at the end of this year.
Yeah, well, that's neither here nor there. He's playing for his money, too, so Gordon might have a better season than we think, but I just think that his best days are behind him.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't really have that burst anymore, and this guy's hungry, and he's young.
Okay.
Doesn't have the mileage yet. It's him.
They don't have a listed fullback. Yes, they do. Andrew Beck, my fault. But they're wide receivers. Now, this is where they get deeper. Clearly, last year, the loss of Courtland Sutton was felt. Courtland Sutton's a really good receiver. I think he's really, really talented. And this year, with a Jerry Jeudy next to him and a KJ Hamler next to him, and even Tim Patrick. I had him on my fantasy team. Yeah. I had him on a couple fantasy teams.
He had a couple nice games last year.
He did.
Stopgap.
Yeah. So, I mean, they're pretty loaded at receiver. And, again, the return of Courtland Sutton just makes everybody better because the coverages are now different. You have to really, really try to take him over the top. Jerry Jeudy, one of the faster receivers in football.
He's such a good route runner early in his career.
Right.
It's going to be interesting to see how he develops this year, too, with a guy that is kind of taking away some of the coverage, and Noah Fant coming into his own a little bit more. I think that their passing attack, if they had Aaron Rodgers like everybody expected, Denver would be having a way different conversation about where Denver's going to end up this year.
Yeah.
Thank God. That didn't happen. But
yeah, so unfortunate. So unfortunate. I wanted him out of the goddamn NFC so bad. Yay. But I would secretly root for you to not jump off a bridge. But anyway, see how we go back to that me rooting for my friend's happiness thing?
That's very nice of you, Dave.
I know. I tried.
He said he was hoping that he would leave, but then as a result, just hope that I wouldn't jump off a bridge. And then he's saying, rooting for my happiness. Me contemplating jumping off a bridge is there by proxy. I'm just miserable.
It's a definition of sadness.
Yeah, that's a definition of sadness.
Good call, AJ. Tight end. I do like Noah Fant. He's probably one of the top. I want to put him in the top 10 tight ends in football.
Yes.
Yes, right?
We're just talking about fantasy tight ends because There's tight ends that might be better than him doing other things blocking wise, but as far as a pass catcher, yes, Noah Fant. I would maybe even crack the top five after four. Then you can make a case for him for sure.
Okay. Right?
Go ahead,
fantasy guy.
I think it's Travis Kelce, Kittle. Who's the third? Waller. Then there's Mark Andrews,
and then
you're saying instead of Hockenson, it could be him. Okay.
Yeah, wait, whoa, Hockenson.
Hockenson will be a top tight end this year. He
misses like six games a year.
Half a man, half
even
a season.
With that, he's the only one getting targets there. It's bad in Detroit, and you guys know that.
Yes, we do know that. He is the only shining star out of it.
You're giving him. You looked at me sideways
as if what I said was crazy,
right? And I'm not saying Noah Fant is going to be the fifth best. I'm saying that he's going to be in the conversation, or you could make the case going into this year that after those four guys are gone, you could be like, okay, I think he's going to take the next
leap. Oh, somebody on Facebook, I didn't mean to look at the things, but Zach Ertz. Are we still talking about Zach Ertz?
No, he's not even better than
Dallas Goddard.
Yeah,
actually.
Goddard's better than him. Where is Zach Ertz now? Is he even in Philly?
He's back in Philly. After all the trade talks and all this other crap, he wound up staying in Philly.
So maybe Zach Ertz is a top five tight end in the league, but he's not a top five pass catching tight end, and that's where we're going with this conversation. And honestly, I don't think Zach Ertz is there either.
I don't think so anymore.
Yeah. I'll take Tanyan over Zach Ertz.
I love Tanyan. Love Tanyan.
Sir. Now, I'm not trying to go there. Tanyan, I hope he kind of falls to the 11th because I want to get him late in fantasy drafts.
And don't discredit the Dallas Cowboys.
Oh, shut the fuck up.
Anyway, Blake Jarwin, Dalton Schultz, my two guys. But anyway, Noah Fant, top 10.
Coming in at the 16th and 18th ranked tight ends in the NFL this year.
Oh, you're looking right at it?
No.
Oh, you just know this?
That's just my guess.
All right. So anyway, the offensive line, younger, not notable names. They don't really jump off the chart at you. You're talking from left to right. Bowles, Risner, Cruchenberry to third, Glasgow, and Anderson. So You know, this could be the Achilles heel of the offense. I'm not gonna say they're bad,
or it could be really good, and I just don't know because I'm
right. I don't want to. I don't want to say something.
Broncos, I AFC think West Berry's offensive good.
Line. Yes. Well, I don't want. Yeah, I don't want to write off the Broncos because their offensive line is young and not like they don't have like a sex appeal to them, or they're just like, oh, I know those guys. You know what I mean? Like
Dave's talking about offensive line and sex appeal.
Yeah. Well,
who has the sexiest offensive line, Dave?
Probably the Colts. I want to say the Colts.
I'm proud of you for not saying the Cowboys.
Are you kidding? No, you know what? That's an argument that has been beaten over. Like, Dan Orlovsky always, he's like, the Cowboys, you know, how can they not get it done with one of the best offensive lines in football? I said, Dan, and I said this to him, and he replied. I was like, Dan, they haven't had a good offensive line, a good solid offensive line with no injuries since like 2014. Shut up with the whole Dallas Cowboys offensive line is the best in the league. They're not. They have one of the best guards in the league. Yeah. They have one of the bigger left tackles in the league. They have one of the bigger right tackles in the league. Doesn't mean they're good. You know what I mean? Like they're serviceable. Hopefully they stay upright. I'm not going to get into this. I'll talk about that tonight on All About the Star, episode 3. But I will say that, you know, again, I'm not going to write off the Broncos offensive line of not being any good. And yeah, dude, just so you know, just so you're aware, I'm a realist with the Cowboys. As much as you think I blow them all, I don't. Like, I know who's bad and I know who's good. Like, i.e. Jalen Smith, not good at football anymore, okay? I don't think he ever was when he went into the pros. One of the all-world linebackers in Notre Dame and college football history. That injury messed him up forever. You know, he's not going to be the fast side-to-side guy. He's just not. And he's not good at football anymore. I'll tell you how it is. And the corners stunk last year. Absolutely stunk. Like, I love how Gucci like tunes out because, you know, Dave's on a Dallas Cowboy rant. Let's all just tune out here.
Well, I'm also
back to the Broncos.
I'm also pulling up some of this stuff on the defense.
Oh, okay. But back to the Broncos. Defense, you know, they do a base 3-4. You know, look, there's no denying guys like Bradley Chubb and Von Miller on this defense as the leaders of this team. Their defensive end, very young right now, but they only rush 3, you know, and it's always Von Miller off the edge when he decides. He's one of those guys. He's one of the rare breeds, I feel, that can put their hand in the dirt and then they can stand up and they can play equally as effective in both ways. Von Miller is still, to me, an absolute stud.
Yeah, of course, and their coach. Fangio,
defensive guy.
Done. He's like a wizard with what he does with his.
What he did with the Bears,
moving parts. Fuck the Bears.
I know,
but Vic Fangio is a. I know he was a really good defensive coordinator. We'll see how that translates because a lot of times you see these head coaches, they're good coordinators and they come and now they're a head coach and doesn't because translate. They're a defensive coach, they're not really as hands on as they were. We'll see how it works out in Denver. Fangio is definitely a wizard on the defensive side of the ball.
Cornerbacks, Kyle Fuller, Ronald Darby, the third corner, Patrick Surtain Jr., who had a pick 6 in his season debut.
Fuller's from Chicago, so he's got his guy. He knows the system well.
And let's not discredit Justin Simmons as one of the better better free safeties in football right now. So that defense as a whole is pretty damn good. And
they have a chance to be the top unit in the league, alone in their division. The Denver defense is going to be really good this year. Mm-hmm. They're going to surprise a lot of people.
Okay. I firmly believe it. And, now, of course, Brandon league, but. Vince McManus is their kicker still, and he can kick the ball out of the stadium. So now when you're pulling up their schedule, AJ, pull that up for the viewing people out there. The schedule is, I always say this phrase, the schedule is the schedule. But the preseason, they won 33-6 in their opener. Locke did have a 151 in that game. Now, opening week, that's a win for the Denver Broncos as they play the New York Giants. I'm not saying that. I know the Giants are definitely better than they were. But in their first, listen to the schedule for the first 3 weeks for the Denver Broncos. The Giants, the Jags, and the Jets. So they're all the Jud. Okay, they got those 3 games. And then, you know, a little bit more, it gets difficult with Baltimore and Pittsburgh. But to start off, can you? Only because I'm asking you hypothetical. It's still early.
Can they go 3-0?
Yeah, they can start 3-0.
Definitely start 3-0. I think the Giants are going to be a tough out in all games they're playing
this year. It's in New York, so again,
I think the Giants' defense matches up well with Denver's offense. Their secondary is really good. That's their strength in Denver is their receiving core.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to probably be canceling itself out. It's going to be coming down to turnovers in that one.
Yeah. All right. And then, AJ, while we're doing this, pull up the over-under on the win total unless you got it already.
I think I found it earlier. Good call. It's pretty shocking.
All right. Well, remember, they won 5 games last year.
It is – the Denver Broncos is 8.5, and for it to be over is minus 150.
Okay.
So they're expecting big things from Denver.
They're expecting three more wins. They're expecting three, or if you're betting the over, you're expecting four more wins.
But the point that I'm saying is my, 8.5 minus 150. It's like, so if you're going to take the over, they're expecting the over to hit in Vegas.
All right. Well, looking down their schedule again, you know, Baltimore comes up, Pittsburgh comes up. The winnable games, I could see, you know, I could see them going 3-0. And I'm not trying to be like a Giants hater. I just think they can get that game in hand. It's realistic. I'm not, the Giants aren't going to go 0-17. They're going to win games, but I just don't think they win the opener. You know, they got Dallas on the schedule, and I think that, you know, that's at Dallas, so I'll give Dallas the home win, but that's, you know, that's only it's the only the, reason why I would give them the win.
One of the easier schedules that I've looked at since we started doing this.
Really?
Well, I'm seeing Cincinnati. I'm seeing, you know, Detroit. There are winnable games, so maybe that's why that number is 8.5, you know, because they can find 8 or 9 wins.
They drew Detroit in their extra crossover game. That's what makes it so easy to me. Not that that game, that one singular game matters, but it really does in terms of the strength of schedule. When you play, like Green Bay has to play against the Chiefs on the road, and this team gets to play against Detroit at home.
I can see right off the rip 5 wins and 3 of them being early. And then you got to find like 3 more. You like, the wins are the 3 early ones and then Detroit and Cincinnati. I think that's 5. Oh, no, I'm not. You can never say guarantee, but I can see that as 5. Now, find me 3 or 4 more wins in that schedule. You know what I mean? Like, their AFC West opponents alone.
We're looking. That's what I'm saying. I think outside of the Chiefs, which even the Chiefs in Denver might be a better game than we're thinking about. But I think, obviously, we don't even have to talk too deep into it, but we all are going to admit or agree here. It's day one of the AFC West. That division winner is locked and loaded already. The Chiefs are winning that division. I'll say it. I don't give a shit.
About I mean, look,
cliffhangers or whatever.
Nobody. Well, I will say it's going to be closer to me. It's going to be closer.
I don't know.
And when I say closer than last year. Last year was like 4 games, 5 games.
I think at a second, third, and fourth place in this division, they're going to be beating each other up.
Can a team like the Broncos split the division games, all of them besides the Chiefs?
I mean, that's very feasible. Yeah, they could easily sweep either of the other two teams or get swept by them as well.
Okay.
I think there's a lot of up in the air with this division.
Yeah, it's going to be a competitive one. They have a decent schedule, but now the number is 8.5. I found them at 5. I'll give them a split with 2 division games. They'll probably get swept by Kansas City, or maybe not. Who knows? That's 7. I'm looking at the schedule. Maybe beat Philly. That's 8. Probably lose to Washington. I'm going to give them 8. I'm going to give them an 8-9 record from their 5-win season last year. Give them 3 more wins than they had last year. So I'm taking the under.
I'm going to go 9.
Okay. You're being generous. Well, not generous. Just you're taking the over. When we turn it over to AJ, what do you got him at?
8-9.
8-9. All right. So relatively, let's just say this. If there was an ability to go 500, this is the kind of team that's like really middle of the pack 500 team. You can't do it anymore with the 17th game. So you like them to finish above 500. Me and AJ are taking them a little under 500. So, I mean, look, it remains to be seen. These guys are definitely loaded better. They're more equipped with this year's roster than they were last year. Von Miller, you know, he's always going to be a terrorizer in the backfield of that defensive, you know, that unit, that front 7. But, you know, it'll be interesting. It will be interesting. And that AFC West, I can firmly believe that that's going to be, like you said, after the Chiefs, it's anyone's game who's going to finish 2nd in that division. Now, I don't know. I do see 1 wild card potentially coming out of that division. We'll get into them in a couple days. But as far as these guys, the 8-9 ain't going to do it. They'll find themselves in the top 15 of the draft next year, and they'll probably add another piece, maybe an offensive lineman for Drew Lock. Or if this Lock thing doesn't work out and Bridgewater, you know, isn't the future, maybe they address that again. Mm-hmm. Because there was rumors that they were going to do it this year, and they didn't. So maybe this is Lock's, like, show me why we should invest in you going forward. So that be that, man. So that is day 1 of the AFC West, day 13 of our 32 teams in 32 days. Now, if you're listening to the sound of my voice, be sure. I know we haven't talked about this a lot, but and I haven't even talked to Gooch about this or even you guys or even AJ of what we're going to do on Friday. I know I want to go. I want to go to this Bar A thing. I think
it might be shitty weather.
We're kind of monitoring the weather to see what it will be.
And honestly, I don't think that we talk to enough people to actually go through with our original plan when we're going to go fucking raise hell. It's like a work day.
Yeah.
End of the summer. Everyone's like either done with it completely or they're gearing towards
Labor Day weekend. I've gone to this once upon a time when it was at Tiki Bar, and it was a good time. You know what I mean? They had live music. They had, you know, they were talking sports all day.
And I also saw something about tickets.
Really? So
you got to buy tickets.
Oh, I didn't see that at all.
I think I might have just tapped out.
Okay, well, if there's no tickets, then
yeah,
I don't know.
We'll talk about this off air.
Yeah.
But, you know.
That's fine.
I'm not completely, got to be there.
Nah, very true.
I'd rather go to a Yankee game.
I agree. But anyway, so if you want to check us out, we might be at
And if
at
you
want
to go to the Yankee game instead, we might also be there on Friday instead.
That's not a bad idea either. But anyway, that'll do it for today's episode of the Chop Sports Podcast. You could be sure to download all the podcasts that dropped today. Jimmy Palumbo dropped today. Joe Matarese.
He put it in the Dropbox, he said.
Put it in a Dropbox, so it'll be up later today. Chopheads MMA now available. Go check that show out. I was talking to AJ a little bit briefly about the Chopheads MMA podcast on where that could go. I really, truly believe that Tommy D and Chris do a great job with it. Scoop helping out as well. I think that show can really take off eventually. And then obviously tomorrow, All About the Star, episode 3. So if you really do want to hear all things Cowboys, you can definitely listen to that. You can also listen to episode 3 of Keep It Real with Elena Christina. And of course, you can also check out the Squeaky Bum Time podcast dropped today. They will have merch by the end of the day today. So if you're a supporter of the Squeaky Bum Time podcast, they will have t-shirts available on our store later on in the afternoon when we get that done.
They only cost 21 euros. Love.
So for Sturch and Gooch, and of course AJ from the couch, this has been another episode of the Chop Sports Podcast, and we'll see you guys tomorrow.
Oh, now you want to give me a fucking soft close?
Cut them off, yesterday.
And I got nothing? It's embarrassing for all parties involved.